They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Does your insect repellent really repel insects?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics, and we'll start with the most deadly insect on the planet, the mosquito. Some new research indicates that our main protection against the mosquito may not be as effective as we thought. I'm talking about DEET, which is the active ingredient used by brands of insect repellent, including Off, 3M, and Cutter. The BBC's science correspondent, Rebecca Morrell, joins us now from London with more. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so what does this study say?
Well, the scientists actually looked at a species of mosquito that's found in the tropics. It's a daytime biting mosquito that can actually spread yellow fever and dengue fever. So it's quite a nasty one. But what they actually found was that this mosquito was able to ignore the insect repellent DEET after it had been exposed to it for the first time. And they actually found this out using some human volunteers. I mean, rather them than me. They put their arm in a tank and covered it with a bit of DEET. And the first time round, it worked as expected. You know, the mosquitoes stayed away. But when they put the mosquitoes back a second time, the same mosquitoes, they found that it didn't actually deter them from feasting on the volunteers' arms. So they're not sure how long this effect actually lasts. You know, is it kind of more than a few hours or is it kind of even longer than that? But it's quite a worrying find.
Yeah, and DEET is not a brand of insect repellent. It's the active ingredient that goes in a lot of them, right? If I go to the store and buy insect repellent, it probably has DEET in it.
Yeah, that's right. DEET is actually one of the most widely used insect repellents in the world, and that's because it's really good. It's actually quite an effective agent against mosquitoes. It was developed by the US military after the Second World War, after their experience of jungle warfare and all the bugs there. And actually, until recently, we didn't even know how it worked. We just knew it did work. But now scientists have found out that the mosquitoes, it's simple, really. They just don't like the smell of it. And I have to say, with this particular study, scientists do still recommend that if you're going to a high-risk area, you should still use DEET and other things like mosquito nets too. It's still effective, but you know there is a growing concern that mosquitoes could grow resistant to this repellent. So they're carrying out studies like this to find out how.
The BBC's Rebecca Morrell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, there is just a week left until we reach the $85 billion in automatic spending cuts that lawmakers in Washington call the sequester. President Obama is trying to pressure Congress to avoid the cuts. And yesterday, he gave interviews to 8 local TV stations in markets that have a lot at stake. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
One of the president's interviews was with WJZ-TV in Baltimore. He had this message for Maryland workers who could be forced to take unpaid leaves because of the budget cuts.
There's no reason they should lose their job or be laid off. This is a problem that Congress can solve.
Almost all the stations the president talked to are in places with defense installations that play a large role in their economies. Larry Sabato teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He says the president is trying to bring the cuts, known in Washington as the sequester, home.
He's using local economics to show people that the sequester is not simply an odd word. It has real-world consequences and could cost some of them their jobs.
The strategy could succeed in the short run, says Jack Pitney. He teaches government at Claremont McKenna College. But Pitney has a word of caution for the president.
In the long run, if the economy suffers as a result of the sequester, he's the one who's going to suffer.
Because voters tend to blame the White House for the state of the economy. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 1.7% in Hong Kong, 1.6% right now in London, 1.8% in Frankfurt and Paris. Global markets started their slide yesterday after the Federal Reserve released minutes from their latest meeting that showed policymakers are concerned about how to bring an end to that aggressive monetary easing program without unsettling financial markets. Also, tomorrow, Boeing is expected to unveil its plan to get those grounded 787 Dreamliners back into service. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 108 points to close at 13,927.
Enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
11 scientists are $3 million richer than they were earlier this week. That's thanks to the Breakthrough Prize that was launched yesterday by Silicon Valley tech titans, including Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and Google's Sergey Brin. It's the latest in a trend of business leaders offering science prizes, as Marketplace's Chrissy Clark reports.
Mark Zuckerberg knows all too well that in the world of computers and information technology, if you make a breakthrough, you can make a lot of money.
Wars in science, the specific scientists and researchers working on this often don't, and we think that that's a market failure.
And that's where the Breakthrough Prize in Life Sciences comes in, Zuckerberg said in an interview with the BBC. Zuckerberg hopes the prize will be an incentive to pursue a career in what have long been less lucrative branches of science, things like cancer research, neurology, the genetics of disease.
And if you're a young kid growing up, you're going to look to what the market says about where you can make money doing different things to inform what you want to dream, what you dream about being when you grow up.
In the last 15 years, many companies and business leaders have launched their own prizes, but the jury's still out on whether they really do have an impact on research. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
And finally to South Brunswick, New Jersey, where a man went to the DMV to get his driver's license photo taken, but officials had to call police because he wouldn't take a pasta strainer off his head for the photo. He said it was a religious head covering, so he has to wear it in the photo. He has every right to wear it in the photo, he says. He calls himself a practicing pastafarian. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.